We're not going to dismiss for Children's Church. We're not going to be here too much longer, maybe. The Holy Spirit's been kind of leading us by the nose to speak this morning. And it's been a good trip. He knows where to take us. And we had been in, just so that you know, some of you might be wondering what's happening here, is we're not in Isaiah today. I know you're shocked. We've been there for the last year. We're going to come back to it. Probably be February before we get back to Isaiah again. I'm going to do a 7-part series on prayer. And we've got Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we put all that stuff in there. That's going to take us to January. January is traditionally stewardship month. I preach stewardship. We'll be looking at stewardship through the month of January. So it'll be February before we're back to Isaiah. We're going back. It's not going away. But this is where we're at right now. The Lord thinks we need to spend some time in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I had a friend of mine send me an email, you know, requesting that I attend a conference. I'm like, yeah, I really can't afford to go. You know, next thing I know, well, we can, you know, pay half the cost for the conference. It's going to cost you $100, and we'll provide you room and board and transportation. You know, so it's like, okay, we can do that. So all my barriers had been removed. I didn't have to write any sermons for that week because that was the week before missions conference, and Lord had different plans for me last Sunday as he had me out ministering to a family with a SIDS death. Well, Nelda ministered to, our missionary ministered to you all here. Now, when I came back, I knew where I needed to go was to prayer. The conference that I went to was with the College of Prayer. It was the Advanced Leaders Training. And one of the parts that we went through in that was indeed the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to be spending a whole lot more time on that. Is we're going to break down the Lord's Prayer in 7 weeks. This week we're going to just look at just the first verse and a half, pretty much. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1, it reads, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' He," that is Jesus, "said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father.'" We'll stop right there. Father. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence this day, seeking you. Lord, you indeed are holy and glorious. And we ask right now, Lord, that you'd be present here. I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach your word this morning, that you would speak through me in power and truth, Lord, that you prepare each and every heart and ear here to hear your word, to receive it. And Lord, might that be the only thing that comes from my mouth, from my lips, is that which is of you. And anything that is not of you, like, be as if not spoken. Lord, we pray for your presence here so that your people know they heard from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor John said something about planning to preach on relationship when I'm not here. Well, that's funny because today is his relationship. Prayer. Disciples, Jesus' disciples, went to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples." A disciple is a follower of somebody. They've picked somebody and said, "That's my teacher. This is the person I'm going to follow. They have the wisdom I want to know, I need to have." And these are the people that are following Jesus. Now, Jesus' disciples were a little bit different than some in that Jesus' disciples, for the most part, or significant portion of them, these disciples were called. Jesus called them out and said, come, follow me. So Jesus called them, and some of them had previously been disciples of John. And as they're with Jesus, they see Jesus praying, and he prays different. Now we need to understand first what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation. But it's a conversation in a particular way. It's a conversation between us and God. But nonetheless, it's a conversation where we speak to Him and He, in turn, speaks to us. It is not just a monologue where one speaks and the other just listens. But prayer is that conversation. And the disciples had seen Jesus praying, and he prays different. He's doing something different. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we can see that the way you pray, it's different. The way that you pray, it has more power. Lord, we want to pray like you pray. Teach us. Jesus did not spurn that request. He thought it was a good one. He didn't say, oh, no, you don't need to learn that yet. I'll get around that in week 7 of the lesson. No. They asked, and he said, when you pray, say, Father. In Matthew, where Jesus also has a portion where he teaches on prayer that Matthew recounts to us in Matthew chapter 6, just read to you the first words there. It said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father. Stop. Father. Our Father. That's who we're talking to. Remember, prayers to God. It's a conversation. It's communication to God. But Jesus is starting out by changing our total relationship with God. It's not, hey God, or it's not, oh, most high God, most powerful, omniscient, and omnipotent being of the universe, which He is. He knows all. He's all-powerful, He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. So we can't hide anything from Him. But that's not, we're not even talking about Him being the Creator. Instead, we're supposed to go to this individual, His all these things, and say, Father. That denotes a total change in the relationship. The people of Israel didn't speak of God as their father. They talked about Moses being their father, Abraham being their father. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. How many know that song? Yeah. Okay. But we're not supposed to call Abraham really our father. That's what the Israelites called him, though, right? It's Father Abraham. No, Jesus said, who are you supposed to call Father? God. When you pray, say, Father. This is a new relationship. It's an intimate and a personal relationship. I have 3 sons. You know how many sons I have? 3. No matter how many times I count up, I end up with 3. They're mine. Now I have others who I also call son. These are my adopted kids. There's one right back there. Chris Hunt. Chris Johnson is another Wible because Chris Hunt, Chris Johnson, and Chris Hobbs are a communal being. They're called the Chris. This is something they came up with when they were young, 10 years ago. Okay? And I just said, you know, hey, you're my kids. You're my son. I've kind of adopted him. Nothing legal. We didn't go to court or do anything. But the fact of the matter is, what we find in Scripture is that God adopts us legally as His heirs. Why call Chris my son? Chris, you're not getting any of my estate when I die. You're not getting my riches. Granted, there isn't a whole lot there. And, but Chris can show up at the reading of the will, which I need to write, and say, hey, he called me son. Therefore, I'm entitled. And the judge would say, go. But God has received us as His children. He's adopted us as His children. In Ephesians, it says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it says that He also predestined us to receive us and to adopt us. To adopt us as His children. And tells that we are inheritors of His kingdom. Who inherits the kingdom? The children inherit. Also tells us in Ephesians that we're not just members, citizens of the kingdom, but members of God's household. Who's my household? Who's your household? Your family. Family. Family is the most important relationship that we can have. I mean, without a parent, you wouldn't be, right? Am I right? I mean, even if you didn't think highly of your parent, without them, you aren't. And if you're a child of a parent, and I guarantee you each and every one of you are the continuation of that line. Without you, the line stops. Or there's a shortening of it. And this was what is the most important thing in society of that day. When Jesus is speaking, family's everything. Still today, people in the Middle East, they don't trust one another. The only ones they trust are family. If you're not family, forget it. They don't feel bad about lying to you or cheating you. That's okay. You're not family. It's like that in much of the world. Anybody here have more than one sibling? Have multiple siblings? Okay. You ever get in a fight with your sibling? Yeah. Did you allow other people, though, to pick on your sibling? No, you don't do that. Why? Because it's my brother, it's my sister, it's my family. You don't mess with my family. We can fight amongst ourselves, but nobody touches us. This is the relationship. Now here's the deal. Jesus is telling all His disciples, how do you pray? Father. That means we all have the same Father. That means we're family. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're family. That's why in many churches they refer to one another as brother or sister. Some people just take it as an affection. And some people use it and they don't know why they're saying that. But it's because of that familiar relationship. Because we have one dad. Okay? Pretty simple. How many dads you got? That one. This is the one that takes primacy. The primary one, the primary relationship is that between our God, who is also our Father. This is an intimate relationship. It's personal. It has repercussions, meaning that we have family. And a family is indeed supposed to be unified and work together and care for one another. That's the purpose of the family unit. Why are parents supposed to have kids? So that to grow and multiply. So that more people can be. But God told us to do all that so that we can have relationship with Him. It all comes back to having a relationship with the Father. Our Father. Our Father. You think about that? Is it hitting you a little bit different now? How many of you have prayed, Our Father, without even thinking about the fact that the person next to you is sharing the same Father? We are to be united. We are united. We have one Father. We have one head in the church. That's Christ. We are to be the body. We've been anointed, signed as heirs of the kingdom. Lord, teach us to pray. And He told us, pray like this, Father. When you pray, remember who you're praying to is indeed the God of creation, but He is also Father. And as such, He loves you as His child. Think about that as we pray. Think about what that means in having brothers and sisters. Maybe you grew up as an only child. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your father or your siblings. That's not the relationship that God wants to have with us now, or wants us to have with each other. He wants us to have that right relationship. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So that we could have a right relationship with Him. He's our Father, and He wants what's best for us. And when we pray, we need to remember that's who we're talking to. Daddy. Abba, Father. Let's pray. Father, Daddy, God of the universe, we thank You that You have adopted us as Your children. And we give You praise. Lord, as we come and pray to You, might we remember who it is we're talking to. We're not talking to somebody who's far distant and doesn't know us. Somebody who doesn't care. But we are talking to You, our Father. The one who loves us. The one who brought us into being. The one who desires what's best for us above all other things. Lord, won't we remember that You are our Father as we pray. And won't we remember that those who pray alongside of us are our brothers and our sisters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we'll be singing Alleluia.